We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
How many of you are believing for a healing in your body? Awesome. And I believe that tonight is your night in Jesus' name. The key is that you look to Jesus, because Jesus is the one that heals. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have no power to heal anybody. No man has any power to heal anybody. It's right. All in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
So tonight, I want you to focus your eyes, your spiritual eyes, focus your heart on Jesus, and believe God for the miracle that you came here for.
Amen.
I hope you came with an expectation to get what you need from God. That's a huge key in receiving anything from God, is you have to come with a hunger and an expectation that I am going to receive.
Amen.
When you get hands laid upon you, it's not, let's see what happens. It's not like, let's go and try this and see if this stuff works. You have to come with an expectation, knowing that when hands are laid upon me, I'm going to receive my miracle. Or when I'm listening to the preaching, because you don't even have to wait until hands are laid upon you. You can receive a miracle right in your seat just from believing God. The same way that you receive salvation is the same way that you receive everything from God, is through believing in your heart. Confessing Jesus as Lord is how you apply your faith. The faith that happens here in your heart, believing, but then you have to put action to your faith. In salvation, that means confessing Jesus as Lord. And when it comes to healing, it's not the same for every case. Actually, Lester Sumrall said, anyone that says they know everything about healing doesn't know anything about healing. Because it's not always the same. For one person, it might be something. If you might have physical pain in your body, maybe for you, stepping out in faith is lifting your leg up like this. Because let's say you have pain in your knee, and you've been believing God for you to heal it, and you just begin doing this by faith, and you'll see that God will meet you at your level of faith. That when you're believing for that to happen, and you step out and you do it, man, He comes through, and He will, and He's the one that does the healing, but your faith is what brings that miracle to pass.
Amen.
Faith in God. All right, so that's what we began, that's what we kind of ended talking about last week, is how everything with God is possible through faith. Amen? And we have been discussing healing and divine healing, or divine health, because divine health is where you're no longer believing to get physically healed. It's where you're walking in constant healing, where you don't need to receive, where you're not believing God for a healing, because you're just constantly having the health that God has ordained you to have. Now, our church, the River Church, we are over the top when it comes to believing and healing.
Amen.
When it comes to believing for God's plan of healing and health for your physical body.
Amen.
You know, some people, they might not be sure about God's desire when it comes to healing. They might not know if God's handing out healing today or if He's handing out sickness. They'll say things like, well, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And they'll twist scriptures to try and just, maybe it's just the way they've been taught, but the devil actually is the one twisting the scriptures to get people to be unsure of what God's plan is. But the Bible is very clear. In John 10:10, it says that God, Jesus, he came to give life and life abundantly, but it's the devil that came to steal, kill, and destroy. So everything that looks like stealing, looks like destruction, looks like death in your life, that's from the devil. But everything that looks like blessing and life abundantly, that's from God. I mean, is health abundant life?
Yes.
Yeah. Is sickness stealing from your life? Absolutely. So if it's stealing from your life, it's from the devil. If it's building your life, it's from God. And so we know very clearly that God's plan is for you to walk in divine health. Now, some people might believe that God can heal you. You might say, I know that God can heal me. And I believe God can heal you. How many of you believe that God can heal you? But that's not enough. Believing that God is able to heal you isn't going to bring the miracle to pass in your life. You have to know that you know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He already has healed you. And that's where I'm getting to in just a minute. Some people might believe that God wants to heal you. But here at the River Church, we believe that God has healed you. that he has already done everything that he's going to do to see you healed. And it's just a matter of getting you to look to Jesus and to have your faith built to receive your healing.
Amen.
And some of you might be sitting out there, having raised your hand, believing God tonight for a healing, wondering if you're saying that I've already received my healing, how is that the case? If I'm already healed, why am I experiencing pain or sickness or disease or depression or whatever else you might be experiencing? And this is where faith comes in. This is important. I'm going to have you say this with me. It's faith that takes what Jesus did for you in the spiritual realm and brings it into the physical realm. Say that with me. It's faith that takes what Jesus did for me in the spiritual realm and brings it into the physical realm. You see, Jesus died on the cross for us and purchased our salvation. His blood was shed for us in his back. He took stripes on his body. And that's what he did for us in the spiritual realm. Through what Jesus did for us in the spirit realm, he has already purchased the healing for us. He's already purchased the salvation for us. But it's faith that brings that from the spirit realm into the natural realm. That's how you receive salvation. You know, whether you believe in salvation or not, Jesus still died on the cross for you and already purchased that salvation. But it's when you put your faith in Jesus and make the confession of salvation that's when you receive salvation. So 1 Peter 2:24 is what we've been talking about. Who himself bore sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. Now it says there, who himself bore our sins. Say, my sin.
My sin.
He who himself bore my sin, our sins, in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins. You see, you have to get the revelation that we're dead to sin, because where does sickness originally come from? Sin. The devil. The devil caused man to sin, and it's the power of sin that has brought sickness and disease into this world. But you see here, it says that Jesus, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins. So we're dead to sin, which means we should be dead to the effect of sin, which the effect of sin is sickness. Now, I'm not talking about a specific sin that you may or may not have committed, because we have all sinned at some point in our life. But once you're washed in the blood of Jesus, when you receive salvation, that sin is gone, as far as the east is from the west. So we're dead to sin. And because we're dead to sin, we're dead to the effects of sin, which is why he is able to say, by whose stripes you were healed. So if we're dead to sin, then we should be dead to sickness. So we were healed, we have been healed, and it's just a matter of making the reality of God's word greater than the reality of what we see and believe in our natural senses. The natural, when I say the natural, I'm talking about everything that we experience in this world through the sense realm. What we can see, what we can touch, what we can feel, what we can taste, all of our senses. That's the natural realm. So it's a matter of getting our belief in God's word to be greater than our belief in what we actually can see, taste, touch, feel, and so on. And when our belief in God's word becomes stronger than that, then that's when exciting things start to happen. That's when you begin to walk in divine health. That's when you begin to get healed. That's when you begin to experience the miraculous. And that's what's going to happen tonight. As faith, as the word is preached, faith is going to be built in your heart, and you're going to begin to put an expectation and a demand on God's word, which Jesus is God's word. I'm going to get there in a section in the scripture that actually says that. And when we put a demand on God's word and on the anointing and on Jesus, then that's when we can receive from heaven a miracle that we're believing for. And faith is the key ingredient to getting anything from God. You know, we read the scripture in James last week. You know, the one scripture, James 1:6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. You see, it's faith in God's word that you believe it, God's word, more than you believe in reality. No. Because faith is the key ingredient to getting anything. And that scripture in James is talking about wisdom. That if you ask for wisdom, God will give it to you liberally, but you have to ask without doubting, you have to ask in faith, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and how can he expect to receive anything from God? But when you ask in faith, and faith is what I'm going to be talking about tonight, and then I'm going to go to an example from the New Testament about how a man applied faith and received healing for his son. And that story is going to build faith in your life to believe God tonight for a healing in your own body. Now, whenever you begin to talk about faith, you have to talk about Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. So turn there with me in your Bible. And I'm going to read it first from the Amplified, and then I'm going to read it from the New King James. The Amplified, though, is really awesome. It really brings it out. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So that's everything that I'm talking about when it comes to faith. That faith is already real in the realm of faith, and it's the faith is what brings that unreality of the natural into reality in our physical body. Now, in the modern world, we use faith in the general sense to say what sort of religion we belong to. I belong to the Christian faith. I belong to the Buddhist faith, or whatever faith you believe in. But that's not the kind of faith that we're talking about here. That's just like a modern thing that's come about. When we talk about faith, we're talking about this scripture. In reality, faith is the substance to bring about the impossible. Because if you go talk to anybody in the world that doesn't believe in Jesus and doesn't believe in the power of God, and you tell them that, hey, I have this and this disease, I've been struggling with this and this problem, and I'm believing that Jesus is going to heal me, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. Like, what are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. But it's faith that is what gives substance to the impossible. Believing God to heal you, believing that that a force out in this world is able to heal me, that's impossible in the natural. In your mind, in all of your reasoning, it's impossible. But it's our spirit that is alive to God that knows that it's possible. Just like salvation. When you experienced salvation and you were drawn to God, it was something pulling you here on the inside. You might have tried to figure out God in your mind and said, well, this doesn't make sense. How can God exist? Where does God come from? And you begin to ask these questions, trying to figure things out in your mind, and you'll never fit God in your little noodle. But when you begin to use faith and say, because you know something here, you feel God pulling you here, then you're like, you know, I don't really understand what's happening, but I know that something real has happened. I know that I've connected to something. And that's when faith begins to rise, when you believe God for the impossible. Now, the New King James Version of Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, evidence is what you use in a courtroom to prove that something has actually happened, right? So, I mean, if you're on trial and they ask you for evidence and you say, well, I have no evidence that this crime has been committed, they're going to say, all right, see you later. Case closed, right? But you come to the courtroom and you bring your evidence to the judge and you say, this is the evidence that this crime has been committed. And then based on that evidence, the jury is able to make a decision on what's going to happen in the case. Now, this here is saying that faith is the substance for things hoped for, the evidence for things not seen. So you might be wondering, how can the Bible say that we have been healed when I'm experiencing currently pain in my body, pain in my back, in my knees, I have arthritis, I have pain in my stomach, I'm constantly dealing with headaches, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Pain, sickness, disease, it's all the same thing, it all comes from the same place. So how can you say that I have been healed if I'm not experiencing that? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of that thing that you're not seeing or currently experiencing. Faith is what brings the unrealities of hope into the current world that we live in, into our existence. Now, Google, I like Google, it defines substance as the real physical matter of which a person or thing consists, and which has tangible, solid presence. It's something that you can actually put your hands on. And what I really like about that is that this scripture here says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is a real thing. It's a real power. Even though Google didn't intend to talk about faith when they wrote that, I like that because faith is what is real about God. Remember the scripture that says that it is impossible to please God without faith. So anything that you want to do has to be done by faith. The Bible says that it is by faith that we live, that we fight the good fight of faith. So faith is where the impossible begins to become possible in our life. And that's why the preaching of God's word is so important, because the Bible says in Romans 8:17 that it's by hearing and hearing the word of God that faith comes. So if you're believing, God, that you were healed, that I've already been healed, and yet I am experiencing, or yet you are experiencing sickness, then your healing or the miracle doesn't yet have substance. And I'm not one of those people that tells you that if you're actually experiencing something, to pretend like it's not actually there. You know, some people will kind of go to the extreme in this area of healing where they might have, you know, an actual symptom in their body, and they're like, well, that's not true. It is true in the physical realm, but there is a greater truth that can get that physical thing that you're dealing with now to go away, to bring God's plan into your life. Because God has a greater plan for you than sickness, which is health. So health is what you are hoping for, and faith is the substance or the assurance that you have received it before you see it in the natural. And that's the key right there. I'm going to go into detail on this a little later on, but the key is believing in the miracle, believing in the substance, believing in the fact that you've been healed before you actually see it, feel it, taste it, and you know that it's there. Because if you know that it's there, if you can see that I have been healed, well, then you're no longer needing faith, you're no longer believing, then you have knowledge. And knowledge and faith are not the same thing. Faith is believing in something that you currently don't see or that doesn't exist. So you have to have faith in order to bring that thing that doesn't exist to exist. Otherwise, like I said, you don't need faith to believe for something that you already have. I require zero faith to believe that there's a Bible in my hand. I have knowledge that there's a Bible in my hand. So if I'm believing God for a healing in my body, let's say it's just, I don't know, let's call it heart disease or cancer or whatever it is. If I have that in my body, which by the way, most people have been, you know, diagnosed by a doctor that told them that I have cancer, that told them I have brain disease, that told them I have this thing or that thing. They're actually putting faith in that doctor's words, because I mean, chances are, they didn't cut themselves open and see what's on the inside, right? I mean, they didn't actually look and see, oh, yep, that looks like cancer to me. But they believe what the doctor's saying. So whether they realize it or not, they actually have faith in something. They're putting their faith in a man's word. I choose to put my faith in God's word, regardless of what the circumstances or doctor or whoever tells me. Don't remember where I was, but I'm going to move on. So faith knows that you have something before it's there. And how is that possible? Well, with men, it is impossible. It's completely not possible in the natural. It's never going to happen. But Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, he said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So that's good news for you and me. If you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus and what he did for us, then all things become possible for us. So the same way that we teach people to receive the Holy Spirit, when someone comes forward and we're trying to pray for, and we're praying for them that they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in new tongues, because that's what happens in the New Testament church. If you don't know about that yet, just look it up in the book of Acts, and you'll see that when the Holy Spirit fell, they began speaking in new tongues, and there's all kinds of people out there that try and tell you that that's wrong, and that it's from the devil, and I'm not going to go into that tonight, but the same way that we pray for people and try and get them to open up their spirit to God is the same way that we have to teach you to open up your spirit to receive a healing. You have to try and tell people it's not in your mind that you're going to receive it. You're not going to receive the Holy Spirit in your thoughts. And sometimes we have to tap people on the head and say, get out of your head, get out of your mind, because it comes from here. It comes from your innermost being. It comes from your heart. That when you just feel it rising up on the inside of you, then the Holy Spirit begins to just bubble up, and then all of a sudden this heavenly language comes outside of you, and you get filled with the presence of God. But it's not in your mind that it happens. So we have to get people, we have to teach people how to receive a miracle. With men, in your mind, it's impossible. But faith in God is what makes it possible. And this is why our relationship with God is based on faith, not on knowledge. Yeah. You know, as long as you try and base your relationship with God on knowledge and what you can know, I mean, you can say, well, of course, faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God, so faith comes from reading this book and getting it down on the inside of you. But there's plenty of religious scholars out there that know the Bible backwards and forwards. They can dissect it and take all the power out of God's Word. And they'll try and prove to you how there's no power. And they know God's word with their mind. But as long as they're trying to connect to God through knowledge, it's not going to work. Because you can only connect to God through your spirit through faith.
That's right.
Through believing in your heart. And it's when faith rises in your heart from hearing God's word and then acted upon that a connection is made with God. You know, people, they can come to church here week after week and hear the message that is preached and hear about Jesus and even have faith rise in their heart, and they begin to believe in God. But until action is taken upon that faith, until they decide to do something with that faith, nothing is ever going to happen. You can attend church here, this church, for the rest of your life and never get saved. I pray that doesn't happen to anyone, but it's possible. Because until you decide to take action upon your faith, that's why the Bible says that it's through believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. Because when you're confessing with your mouth, you're releasing your faith. Faith is coming out. Faith is in your heart, and then you're speaking it out, and that's taking an action. Faith requires action, and it's the same way in healing. So turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 46. John 4:46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him. He went to him and implored him to come down and to heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. And when he went his way, and as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour," which is between 12 and 1 p.m., the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. Now there's a bunch of keys in this passage of scripture that I'm going to pull out. Number one, we see here first that it says that he heard that Jesus came into Galilee. So what does that mean? It means that he heard about Jesus. And faith starts when you hear the word. And Jesus is the word. You don't have to turn there, but in John 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." So Jesus was God's Word incarnate. Jesus became the living, walking, breathing Word of God. And this man, he must have heard about what Jesus was doing, otherwise he wouldn't have come to Jesus for healing. So this man, he heard that Jesus is in town, that he was coming nearby, and he must have known the things that were going on in Jesus' ministry. He must have heard about miracles that had begun taking place. It says there in the beginning that this was in Cana of Galilee. And Cana of Galilee was where Jesus performed his first miracle. So there's a good chance that this man, as a nobleman, might have even been at that wedding, might have even seen that first miracle. I mean, I'm not saying that he did, but there's a chance that he could have been there. And so he knew and believed. He must have known something about Jesus, about the power of God through Jesus, that he could come to him for a miracle. And that's where you have to come to a place in your heart, that you know that you have to come to Jesus to receive the miracle that you're believing for. Now, Jesus isn't physically on the earth anymore. He's in heaven. But he sent us the power of the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to earth. So everywhere on the earth, potentially, is the power of God. Here in this room tonight, the power of God is available.
That's right.
The presence of Jesus is here tonight. The miracle-working power of Jesus is here in this room, that you can receive the same touch. And so you have to come to church to see Jesus, just as this man came to Jesus because he heard the word about Jesus. He heard or knew somehow about the things that Jesus was doing. And that's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because as you're hearing about what Jesus did, what Jesus is able to do for you, what Jesus has already done for you, faith begins to be built inside of you. What if Jesus could do that to me? Wait, you're saying that Jesus wants to do it for me? That Jesus has already done it for me? Well, then your faith begins rising. And as your faith begins to rise, then you begin to put your faith out there and believe, God, I want this for me tonight. I want this for me now, because faith is always now. You see, people that are saying that I believe God will heal me, they're not actually using their faith, because they're putting it off into the distant future. But when you say, God, heal me now, I receive my healing now, I thank you, Jesus, that I am the healed of the Lord, that by your stripes I am healed, and you begin to make it now, that's when faith begins to be activated in your heart. That's when faith is released, and you can then receive a miracle in your life. So it says here that he went to him, that this man, this nobleman, went to Jesus. You see, he went to where Jesus was. Now you have to kind of think about it if you go through this story, but this man's son, it says that he was at the point of death. Now I don't know about you, but for me, you know, unless I knew something different, and I knew that my child was at home dying, I would, and it says at the point of death, which means the child is about to die, I wouldn't leave my child. I would want to be there with them. I would want to stay right there, comforting them to their last breath. Unless, as I said, I knew something different. Because only someone that believes something absolutely radical would leave their dying child to go find somebody. I mean, think about how crazy this was for this guy. He heard about what Jesus was doing. He's saying, I'm going to leave my dying child just to go find this person because I believe that this person has the ability to heal my child. I mean, he should have stayed home with his son in his final moments to be there for him. You know, very often people today in the church world, they want some sort of special treatment. You know, they'll come to church, they can listen to the whole entire sermon. They might come week after week. They'll stay in their seat during the altar call. They won't press in for their needs during the service. You know, we tell people that the answer for your situation, for your problems, if you have problems, The answer is in the service.
Amen.
The answer is in the preaching of God's word. The answer is in the anointing.
Amen.
But people, for some reason, have gotten this attitude of always feeling that they need something special that has to be personal to them. But you can receive your miracle in the service, or you can answer the altar call and receive the miracle right there. You can receive the altar. You can receive salvation at the altar call. But then what happens very often is that after the service, people want to come up to the minister and receive special prayer. Have you guys ever seen that happen before? Where like, yeah, I didn't answer the altar call. I sat in my seat the whole service long, but then there's something about me just coming forward to receive something special from that minister. But you really don't need that. You don't need special treatment. You see, this man, he was leaving his child dying because he was desperate to go and get something from Jesus. And you have to come that way to church. That when you come to church, you're desperate to get the touch that you need. And maybe you need that touch for somebody else that has need. You have to come desperate for that touch. Look at this man wasn't coming for himself. This man was coming for somebody else and putting a claim. They were putting a demand on the anointing, putting a demand on Jesus for somebody else. So you can come and place a demand for yourself. There's plenty of people that have done that in the Bible too. But you can also come and put a demand on Jesus, because the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever, in Hebrews 13:8. So if back then people were able to come to Jesus to ask him to heal somebody else miles and miles and miles away, well, then that means that can happen for you and me today. So whether you, every time you come to service, you should come with an expectation, a hope, and a desire, saying, this is what I'm coming believing for. This is the need that I need met. And you're not coming to receive it from a man or from a church, but you're coming to receive it from Jesus. God might use different people as vessels to bring that to you. That your faith connects with their faith when hands are laid upon you, or when they pray for you. It's not the man that's special, but it's the faith that you have in that. It's your faith in God. That when you answer the altar call and you're coming forward for healing in your body and you're getting prayer and your faith is saying that when hands are laid upon me, I will receive my healing now.
Yeah.
It's not like some sort of 30-day free trial where you get to see what happens. No, you're coming. You put a demand on the anointing, like the woman with the issue of blood. She said that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I'll be healed. She wasn't coming to see. She wasn't coming to try it. She wasn't coming to just get a sneak peek and see what it was all about. She knew in her heart that when I touch that hem of his garment, if I could just touch it, if I could just put my hand on it, I'll receive the miracle. And that was her faith being released. So that when she touched it, he said that he felt, he stopped, he's in the middle of the crowd of people, and he says, stop. I felt power or virtue going out of me. There was many people, I'm sure, in that crowd that actually put their hands on Jesus, that touched his physical body, but they weren't putting the demand on it like she was. The demand was in her heart with her faith that she placed that demand that when she touched it, she knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that she was going to receive the miracle that she was believing for. You know, I mean, there's this book called I Believe in Miracles by Catherine Coleman. If you haven't read it, you should totally read it. I read that book, and most of the book, I was just like in total awe and shock of God's power, and just, I actually wept through probably most of that book, like tears just running down my face, just crying as she's just telling story after story of these people that came to receive powerful miracles in her life. I mean, they would bring people that were literally on their deathbed, that when the hospitals and the doctors and the physicians and everyone said that there's no hope for you, there's nothing that we can do for you, they brought them to her. They brought them to the church, hoping that they would be healed. And so many people, as they were, they should have been dead, received absolute, total miracles from God because they were putting their faith out there that when I come to this service, I'm believing that I will be healed in Jesus' name. And it's no different tonight. You come tonight put a demand on the anointing, put a demand on the presence of God, and say, Jesus, I need your healing now. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. She wasn't meant to be out there. It was illegal for her to be out there, and she didn't care what everyone else thought about her. You have to begin to go past when you're thinking about what other people are thinking about you. I dealt with that for the longest time. When I knew that I needed to get right with God, the only thing that was stopping me week after week was, what are my friends going to think about me? What are my brothers going to think about me? I'm going to look so stupid if I walk up there and pray to God. But I did, and when I made that decision to just forget about what people were thinking, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. So tonight, just forget everyone else is here. This is you and Jesus tonight. I mean, if you need a healing in your body, well, that's a serious problem. Don't get casual with God. I think too often, like, the church today feels like we have to just come and be, you know, holy in church. We have to just sit there and be quiet. And you don't have to. You can put a real demand on the anointing. You have to get fed up with your situation. You have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. But as long as you're willing to accept what the devil's handed out to you, you're not going to get rid of it. But when you put a demand on Jesus and say, enough is enough, I'm getting rid of this sickness, I'm getting rid of this disease, I'm getting rid of this struggle, this addiction, this depression, this whatever it is that you've been struggling with, you come to Jesus and put the demand on Him, and He'll set you free.
That's right.
Because that's what His desire is for you. To give you life and life abundantly. Abundant life is not someone that's walking around sad, depressed, look like they're sucking on a lemon all day. Depression is not abundant life.
Amen.
Sickness is not abundant life.
Right.
Pain is not abundant life. No. Jesus came to give you life and life abundantly. No. Jesus did. So Jesus is the one that you have to go to get that. And the way that you get anything from God is through faith, through believing in your heart. It's not an intellectual thing. So if you think, like, if you're trying to figure this all out in your mind, and you're like, I finally grasped it in my mind, forget about it. It's in your heart that it matters. This faith happens here. It's a spiritual connection. It's based on your understanding of God's Word. I'm not saying that you should be clueless when you're going to believe God for something. You need to know God's Word. But it's God's Word that gives you the confidence to boldly approach His throne. You know, most people today, when they get sick or they're not feeling well, they stay at home. Think about that. I mean, the second sickness is happening, they're like, well, I can't go to church today. And then some people do it with even, you know, maybe noble intentions that they don't want to get other people sick. But if there is one place that you should come when you're sick, it's to Jesus, right?
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that Jesus isn't in your home, but as you're at home, sitting there with your spoon eating Campbell's soup broth, where is your faith level at? You got the television on, you know, you're like in your bed just laying there, or you're lazy boy, you got the TV on, you know, sucking down NyQuil, just eating Campbell's soup broth and all this stuff. Where is your faith level at that point? Even if you wanted to believe God for it, it's not going to happen. And so the thing is, you have to decide that the only place that I can actually get what I need is if I come to Jesus. Not just coming to church. You know, I think that's where people get the wrong ideas, where they're thinking they're just coming to church is another thing to do. Think of Sunday, think of Wednesday night, think of every time you come to church as an opportunity to come to Jesus.
Amen.
Where you're being drawn closer to Him. Where you're finding out, Jesus, what are you really like and what are you really able to do for me? And then as you figure that out, you put the demand on it, just like that woman did when she finally figured it out in her heart that if I just touch the hem of His garment, I'll receive healing. She got it. But people, they want things specially done for them. They might even ask the minister to come to their house to pray for them. But I don't really see that too much of as an example in the Bible, except I think maybe when, like, Lazarus was dead that he actually went. That's a pretty rough case. You know, Lazarus was in the tomb, so they couldn't exactly get him out very easy. But most cases, people, they brought people to Jesus. The guy that they tore up the roof of the building so that they could lower him down in front of Jesus. I mean, he should have been at home in bed resting, right? Because that's what you do when you're sick. You don't want to get other people sick. You don't want, you know, to be a hassle. You don't want to be a nuisance on society. You know, but the crowd was so full that they couldn't even get to Jesus because the house was completely full. There's crowds all around it. But they got desperate.
That's right.
The people that brought him, they went up on the roof and they pulled the roof off, or part of it, so that they could lower Jesus down. And when that happened, they said it was your faith that made you whole. Many times, when someone was healed through Jesus, he said that it was through your faith. Through your faith. You can get healed supernaturally by God, but you can also come to the place where it's just your faith. You can build your faith like a muscle and begin to depend on faith in God that I will not get sick. That when sickness tries to come against me, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it can't touch me. That it just becomes a part of who you are. But people, you know, they feel like they need to call the minister to come to their house to pray for them, to come to the hospital to pray for them. But if you get desperate enough, you'll say, I can't wait for the pastor to come to my house. I got to get there. You know, that's what they were doing actually at Catherine Coleman meetings, is they would be like, I need an ambulance to take me from the hospital to church. You know, today in America, it's probably the opposite. It's probably people in an ambulance going from church to the hospital. But it shouldn't be that way. It should be, we should be the place where the desperate people are coming because there's no other hope.
Come on.
That they're coming here because they know that Jesus is real here.
Amen.
That Jesus actually is still alive in this body today.
Amen.
So it's about finding where the Word is. Remember, Jesus is the Word.
Yep.
And when this man found out where the Word was, he went to the Word. When you hear about Jesus, your faith will be built and you will begin to believe God for a miracle. See, this man heard that Jesus was coming to Galilee, and so he did whatever it took. He left his dying son to go here and to be around the Word of God, the Word made flesh. Now, we don't have, as I said, Jesus physically on earth here today, so you need to go somewhere where the Word is being preached so that your faith is being built to receive what you need from heaven. And if you're going somewhere where it's just dead, where there is no faith being built, well then how do you expect to receive from God?
Amen.
You have to have faith being built on a daily, regular basis, and especially at church.
Amen.
So, this is what happened to the man, is that he found out where the Word was, and he went there to go get his miracle. He was in a hopeless situation. His son was about to die. That's a pretty bad situation, right? When you find out, hey, my son's literally on the deathbed. My son could die tonight. But he did whatever it took to get there. Now notice that it must have been about a day's journey for the father to get to where Jesus was. Because it wasn't until the day after that he had left that he came across his servants. Right? That's what we read, that Jesus said the word to him. Jesus gave him the word that your son is living. And so it says that he left. And it says that the next day, that while he was still on the journey going home, which means he'd at least been traveling for a day, that's when his servants came across him. So that means he traveled a day to get to Jesus. You know, people have a hard time traveling more than 10 minutes to church here. With a car. Not like walking on a road, or I imagine the nobleman probably had a donkey, but I mean, I'm sure a day's donkey ride wasn't fun back then. You really have to get desperate. I mean, I remember when I was in high school, like this is when I'm like 14, 15, 16, and any time that I heard about a revival in this area, I didn't care how far it was, I wanted to be there. I think I was about 15 years old. I heard Benny Hinn was in Toronto, and I'm like, get me there. You know, 2.5 hour drive, no problem. I heard there was a revival going on. Actually, if you were here when Evangelist Troy was here and he was talking about the church in Avon that he used to go to, man, I used to drive to that church to go there too. Because, like, that's where God was moving. You have to figure out where God's moving and then be there.
Amen.
You have to get hungry and desperate. This man, he traveled at least a day just to get to Jesus. I mean, think about the risk. Think about it. How awful of a father you'd feel like if you left your... And while you're gone, you know, because you heard that somebody might be able to help you out, that your son dies. And you come home and your son's dead. You know how awful that you would feel? Like, I mean, his wife probably never would have forgiven him. You left, and while you were gone, our son died. Man, that would be something hard to get over. And that was a decision that this man had to actually make, that I'm willing to potentially miss the death of my child to be able to go to Jesus. How desperate would you be at that point? How hungry for the things of God? How sure of Jesus' power would you be at that point to be willing to sacrifice that, to do anything to be with Jesus? And then you see here that it says that he implores Jesus to come to him. He's begging Jesus, come to me. And generally, this is how people are. We have a plan how things should work. Jesus, come to me. And then Jesus even responds back to him and says something. And then he begs him again to come to him. You see, we generally have an idea of what we expect from God, of how we want God to do the miracle for us, of how we want God to operate in our life. What you find, like, if you look throughout the Bible, many times Jesus and God in the Old Testament did things that made people uncomfortable where they weren't really too excited about doing it. Like Naaman the Syrian having to go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. Like Jesus spitting in dirt, taking that dirt, stuffing it in a guy's face. I'm telling you, into his eyes so that he could receive sight. There were many times where it didn't just go like a nice, easy thing. There were things that were done that challenged people to see how hungry, how desperate were they to receive from God. And this man here, he's imploring him. He's a nobleman, so he's somebody that's really important. He's royalty. And he's begging Jesus to come to his house because he needs him to pray for his son, that his son would be healed. But that's not what happened, because generally, God does things different than the way we have in mind. It'd be nice if we could just tell God how we always want him to operate, right? God, you need to do it now, at this time, in this way, and we could tell God what to do. But generally, it doesn't always work that way. All right, we're looking at verse 50. Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." Now remember, Jesus came to bring life and life abundantly. He told this man, go your way, your son lives. So if you're questioning what Jesus' desire for you is, it's always life. Yeah. When the man came to him, he said, go your way, your son lives. He gave him life. In every instance where Jesus came across somebody, he always brought life. Forgiveness of sin, healing, demonic deliverance. He always brought life to every situation. And it's no different today. Jesus comes to bring you life into your situation. He comes to bring life into your physical body. He will quicken your mortal body. So, you don't have to question God's will for you concerning healing. In Acts 10 and verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Anyone that was oppressed by the devil, his desire is to heal them. Oppression comes in many forms. It can be sickness, depression in the mind, an attack in the mind, whatever it is. Demonic spirits harassing you. Jesus comes to deliver you from all of that. So you know the key to faith is having your mind made up that Jesus wants you to be healed. Once you know Jesus wants me to be healed, that Jesus desires me to be healed now, that's faith beginning to rise. Because James 1:6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So when you come to God, when you come to Jesus, when you come to the altar, when you come to have hands laid on you, you can't come with an unstable, double-minded thought. You have to come with a thought that I will receive my healing. I am healed in Jesus' name. Then verse 50, the last half of that verse. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. I'm going to read that again. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. What did this man believe? The word. The man believed the word. Now, why in the world would this man believe the word? He had zero indication that anything in the natural had changed, right? Where's his son? A day away, right? So why would he believe Jesus when Jesus says your son lives? Why wouldn't, I mean, wouldn't you want to be like, all right, thanks, Jesus, that was cool, but can you please come to my house now and actually pray for my son and put your hands on him and do what you need to do to make sure that he's actually living? Nothing in the natural to this man that was standing there, nothing had changed yet. Yet he believed. He didn't get a text message from home saying that everything was okay, right?
Right.
He didn't get a doctor's report sent to him on his email saying, actually, we just were here with your son. You know, I'm here with the other medics and everything's okay now. At this point, everything was still the same. He had no indication in the natural, in the realm of reason, in the physical senses that anything had changed. And this is huge because this is what I was talking about in the beginning, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, this man had zero evidence that anything had changed. But it was the substance, it was the faith that gave substance to that miracle. You see, Jesus spoke the word. But it wasn't even actually Jesus speaking the word, it was the faith in the word. It was that man believing the word of God that brings the miracle to pass.
Amen.
So the only thing that this man had at this point was the word of God. And what stops most people today is that they're waiting for a manifestation of the miracle before they're willing to believe. Yeah, I'll believe that I can see once I can actually open my eyes and see. I'll believe that my ear can hear once I can actually hear. I'll believe that my knee doesn't have pain anymore once I can actually feel no pain. They're willing to say that they're believing once that it actually happens, but that's not faith. That's knowledge. The difference is that you have to believe that it's actually happened before you actually see anything in the natural, like this man did. He was willing to believe the word of God before he had any indication in the natural that anything had changed. To anyone any normal thinking person, they would think that my son is still at home dying. The only thing that had changed was Jesus said that your son is living. And so you might think, well, if Jesus spoke directly into my situation, I would believe. Like this man was talking to Jesus. If Jesus came and appeared to me, like if I could walk up to Jesus, if this speaker over here is Jesus and I walked up to him, and I said, Jesus, my son is at home dying, and he turns to me and he says, your son is living. Well, that would be easy for me to believe, right? Because it's Jesus. And we know that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Word made flesh. It would be easy to believe in a direct word from him, right? That's what stops many people is they're waiting for some sort of experience from Jesus where they get this big revelation or some sort of big experience that Jesus actually said that to him. But the thing is, he already has said it to us.
Amen.
And that's why we're talking about by his stripes, because in 1 Peter 2:24, it says that by his stripes he were healed.
Amen.
That's to you and me. That's to the church today. That's to everybody that's willing to believe we were healed.
Right.
So just as he said to this man that your son is living, that applies to your situation. Whatever you're believing God for, ye were healed.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with pain in my body. Ye were healed. I'm dealing with depression. Ye were healed. Whatever it is, you have to have the revelation that Jesus isn't going to do anything more for you.
Yeah.
He's not going to take more stripes on his back for you. He's not going to go to the cross again. He's already done it all. He's already paid the price. He took sin on his body. He bore it on the tree so that we wouldn't have to suffer under the consequences of sin.
Amen.
especially sickness. By his stripes ye were healed. So we have a direct word from God to us that we were healed. So if you're waiting for something spectacular to happen once again, you're wrong. You're missing it. You just have to begin to believe in the Word made flesh, Jesus. You have to believe that what he actually said he did for you, he actually did it. And he actually means what he said.
Yeah.
And you have to begin to release your faith. That's what we do when we pray for people. People get hands laid on them, the power of God comes on them, and then all of a sudden they're like, I believe, because they feel the power of God. But just as if when the power of God is not there, you still have the same faith, you can still say, I believe, with the same faith, and it's once you connect that faith with God that the miracle begins to take place. Once hands are laid upon you, people feel like, well, hands were laid on me, so now I can believe to receive the miracle. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's scriptural, that they actually did that, that they laid hands on people. Jesus said to go out and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They will recover. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But you can release your faith whenever you want. Release it when hands are laid upon you, or release it when you go climb to the top of a tree. It doesn't really matter. Release your faith now or whenever you're willing to believe for it. But it's a matter of your faith being released that brings the miracle. Faith is not just believing. It also requires action. And what action did this man take? Because Jesus said to him, your son is living. So where was the action that this guy took? He believed, yes, but he went beyond believing, and he actually went on his way. The Bible says that Jesus said to him, your son is living, and then it says that he went on his way. If he didn't believe Jesus, he would have done like most people would have. Jesus, please come to my home. And just kept begging Jesus, Jesus, please come home to my house and heal my son. He's dying. Meanwhile, Jesus just said, you go your way, your son is living. But most people, they want to have something special, and they want Jesus to come to their house. And they want to have a special word, and they want to go to a prophet, or they want to go to some special meeting or whatever. But it's just a matter of, are you willing to believe? Are you willing to believe tonight for the miracle that you came here for? You see, this man was totally convinced that what Jesus had spoken to him had actually come to pass. And that's where the key is, being totally convinced of God's word. That's the key in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. It's being totally convinced of that. That I have been made whole, that I have been made healthy, that sin and the effects of sin are gone out of my life. I am dead to sin, and that Jesus, by his stripes, I have been made healthy. So as we said, this man's plan was to come to Jesus and to get him to come with him. And even though the plan didn't go his way, the way he wanted it, he believed God. And like I said, if he didn't believe God, he would have stayed there trying to convince Jesus to come home with him. And some people are trying to convince Jesus to perform a miracle for them when he's saying, I already have.
Enough.
Some people are literally trying to convince Jesus to heal them. Jesus, please heal me. Begging Jesus. Maybe even getting downright emotional and crying, having a big fit. And saying how it's totally unfair that I'm going through all this. Jesus and God are not moved by any of that. He's not moved by emotion. He's only moved by faith. For it is impossible to please God without faith. I understand that sometimes it feels good to get emotional. It feels good to have a big boo-hoo and feel like, why me, Lord? Why am I going through this? Why am I sick? Why am I this? Why am I that? It might tickle your emotions, but it actually doesn't do anything for the situation that you're in.
That's right.
The only thing that's actually going to change your situation is your faith. When you begin to believe.
Amen.
It wasn't the boy's faith that got the miracle. It was the father's faith, believing for his son. That he knew that when he went to Jesus, when he went to the Word of God, that he knew that when Jesus spoke, your son is living, that it was done. And then you see there that it says that through that miracle, the whole family believed. One miracle in your life has the power to see your entire family believe God.
Amen.
When you get to tell your family, hey, you know, I used to deal with this sickness for like 20 years, and now I'm totally free from that, they're going to wonder, well, how did that happen? And you can tell them, Jesus healed me.
Amen.
And it can cause your whole entire family to believe.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.